Hi, I'm Ozzy. Welcome to the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast. I believe that stories are powerful, and by sharing, we can grow together. That's why I created the Tales of an African Princess in America podcast, to share the unique stories and experiences of African immigrants abroad. Each week, you'll hear topics pertaining to education, healthcare, and career choices, or just pure banter. So sit back, relax, and enjoy. Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode. So Thanksgiving season has just gone by, and in the US, it's time when people get together with family to share all the things that they're grateful for. And here on the podcast today, I just want to say that I'm thankful for you. I want to take the time to thank our podcast contributors. Thank you to every single guest who has come on the podcast to share their stories, making us a part of the universe, even if it's for half an hour. I just want to say thank you to them. I've learned so much from all the amazing guests I've had on this platform. When I created this podcast, I thought that I had a lot to say. I thought it was about the things that I had to say, but I realized really quickly that I had so much more to learn, and it came in the form of my amazing podcast guests, and I want to say thank you so much to them. I also want to say thank you to my listeners. Yes, thank you to you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking out time to digest all the topics. Thank you for your contributions. Thank you for sending me those DMs on social media, on Instagram, and saying, hey, this is my own story, or this is what I think about the episode, or this are topics that I really want to hear about. Thank you for those messages, because those messages keep me super motivated to do more. You know, I have a 9-to-5 job. This isn't my full-time job. And there are times when I really want to, you know, sit down and record an episode. So many things are competing for that time. And I get on my social media and I read a message from a listener, and it just gasses me up. It makes me feel so good. And I'm like, yes, I'm going to do it. And so I don't take that for granted. That's not something that I overlook. And I want you to know that those messages mean a lot to me. Thank you so much for always reaching out and sending in those messages. I really appreciate them. Thank you. So it's Christmas time again. It's a joyous time. Christmas time is generally a joyous time. You walk into stores and it's bright. It's shiny. You see the Christmas trees. Everyone seems to have this baseline joy. It's this Christmas spirit where people are generally happier around Christmas time. It's really exciting. It's a lot of shopping going on, a lot of deals. Hopefully you were able to get a lot of shopping done around Thanksgiving. And so people are doing a whole lot of shopping for family around this time. So it's generally a really good time for so many people. I have my tea here. I made a cup of tea. One of the things that I'm doing differently this year is I'm drinking a whole lot of tea. And I know my dental hygienist will not like it, because every time I go in to get a cleaning done, she tells me always drink tea with a straw. But I feel like that's so difficult to do. I don't know how to drink tea with a straw. It takes away that experience. But yeah, I'm drinking a lot more tea this season. It's cold. And so definitely tea helps. I don't really drink coffee. Yeah, I have a cup of tea here and I'm trying something new. It's something that has a citrus base, and I decided to incorporate that because it helps with keeping the cold at bay. So a little bit of tea helps. Okay, so today's topic is a little bit heavy. I just want to put that out there because I'm sharing a little bit of my story. It's not an easy episode for me to make today, but I've decided to do this around this time because I know it's significant for a lot of people. I want someone out there who's experiencing the same thing to know that it's going to be okay. But first, let me ask you a question. Have you ever made a promise to a loved one, and a promise you fully intended to keep at the time, but due to life's, you know, incredible turns and wheels, the wheel of life, you know, have you found that you were not able to keep that promise? And for me, there was a time when I made a ton of promises to someone that I really, really loved, and I just couldn't keep any one of them. I just couldn't keep any one of them. And so that's actually the basis of today's episode. That's what I'm really here to talk about, is how to make good on promises that you probably made, or how I've made good on the, some of the promises I've made in the past, which at the time I failed to keep, and some of the things that I'm doing right now to make it better. So one of the things I did this year, which I'm super proud about actually, is that I gave my mom a book. And it's a book that I wrote. Yes. So I wrote a book last year. I never published that book because I just couldn't find the motivation to do so. It's a book that I wrote specifically for my family. This year, I was able to share that book with them. It's a book about my sister, you know. A few days ago, I recorded a video. It was meant for my YouTube channel, African Princess in America, so you can check it out. But I recorded a video and I talked about three exciting things about myself. One of the things that I shared was that I am the last of six girls. So my parents have six daughters. Every time I say that, I actually pause before I say that we are six girls, because in 2007, we lost our oldest sister. You know, we lost our first sister in 2007. When that happened, when people would ask me, like, how many sisters do you have? Sometimes I'm like five. Sometimes I'm like four. Every time I said four, it felt like I was not respecting the memory of my sister. It felt wrong. And so my mom actually helped me realize that just because someone passed doesn't mean that their memory is erased, you know. So you can go ahead and say you actually have five sisters, because you do, or you did, you know. I don't know how you want to say it. I'm just here to talk about Christmas time for people whose families are incomplete. Life happens for a lot of us during the year. And sometimes at the end of the year, you don't feel like you have so much to be grateful for. Sometimes the people that you start the year with, you know, your family, your friends, your loved ones, sometimes at the end of the year, they're no longer there. And even though it's been 12 years since that happened, it's taken us a while to heal. I feel like the healing process has been really, really slow. And partly because everyone in my family had a different experience with it. Last year, I decided to write a book about my experience with that. Yeah, so last year I wrote a book. And the reason why I wrote this book was primarily because I felt like the healing process was slow. In 2007, I had the privilege. I always call it a privilege. And sometimes I think about it like as a curse. But it's the privilege. I had the privilege to hold my sister's hand as she took her last breath. And it was just me with her at the time. And it was such a life-changing experience that I've kept with me to this day. But because I was the one who was there with her, I also had the task of telling my family what those moments were like. And no matter how I told this story, someone would always say, tell me about it again. Or what was it really like, you know? And every time I retold the story, I brought up these emotions that I thought I had buried down, way down in my subconscious. Because when something so traumatic happens, you try to suppress that, at least to cope with that. I tried to suppress those feelings and move on. And so I guess everyone in my family has also tried to cope in some way or another. I'll tell you a little bit about why I wrote that book. So I'm just going to read the preface of the book to you. I've had a burden on my heart for 12 years to write this book, and now I cannot put it off any longer. It is my first thought when I wake up and the last before I sleep. In my private moments, I've struggled with two important questions. Why was I the only one there when Oge passed? what purpose is this to me? One day, whilst taking a shower, I remembered Oge. I tried to picture her face and it seemed very faint in my mind's eye. Then I knew I had to write this book. 12 years later, I discovered the answer to my why. I needed to fulfill my promises to Oge on her deathbed, to let her boys know who she was. That's the preface to the book. So my sister was married. She had two boys. And in 2007, she had leukemia. Unfortunately, she didn't quite make it. And I made her a ton of promises on her deathbed. You know, she was worried about a lot of things. And I would just sit there telling her, don't worry about it. Everything's going to be okay. You know, and then she's like, who's going to take care of my boys? And I say, I will. You know, who's going to do this? And I'm like, I will do it. You know, and I made all these promises. But at the time, she told me that, no, you're not going to do it because you're going to be away for a long time. And I didn't quite understand what that meant. But the very next year, I graduated. And a year after that, I moved to the US. And so now I understand. But I also needed to make this book, especially for my mother, who did not get a chance to say goodbye properly to Oge. Oge felt that my mom would take it really hard. And so pretty much the whole time we told my mom that my sister had malaria. But she had something pretty worse than that. So I made this book for my mom because I knew that she was hurt by that and she didn't get a chance to say goodbye. I feel like I owed it to her to write about my sister and just let her know what her last days were like and things like that. But yeah, here are my reasons for writing this book. So I believe that memories are best kept in books. I am an academic and most of the knowledge that I have, came from books. Or it came from my mentors or people, my professors, but they also read it in books. You know, and I think that books are an excellent way to keep memories alive. When you were born, these books were already there. When you leave, these books are still going to be there. And one of the gifts that you can give to humanity is writing things down, publishing books, writing memoirs, or even sharing your knowledge. And the best way to do that is to write it in a book. So I decided that my sister was a real person. She had 36 years. She had joys. She had passions. I was going to immortalize those things in a book. The second reason is because I wanted my mother to get a chance or get a picture of what my sister's last few days were like. I wanted her to be able to get that closure, you know? I wanted my sister's sons to get an idea of who she was, not just from stories that people told, like folk tales, but I wanted them to be able to read it in a book, you know? And my perspective of my sister is quite unique because she was the first and I am the last. You know, from the eyes of a baby sister, that perspective is very unique. And I wanted to share that story with them. And I also wanted healing and closure for my family. These are things that it's been really slow, I have to say. It's been really slow. It's not a conversation that we all can sit around the dinner table and have. It's a conversation that is mostly truncated when it starts. Some people don't say anything. You can see that they're lost in thought, like my dad. Some people just keep quiet when anyone mentions that, or some people, I am usually the one who speaks more about it. Most people, my family or my parents, actually my dad, he would be more quiet about it. And so last year, before I wrote the book, I actually sent him a message on WhatsApp and I said, I'm thinking about writing a book about my sister, Oge. What do you think about it? And he said, that's a great idea. I think you should. And so I wrote that book and I was done with it last year, actually. But this year I had the privilege of sharing that book with my family. And it was really, really good for us. It was really good for us. Let me read you some of the comments that my family gave. My niece says, "Hi, Auntie Ozzy. To be honest, I didn't really know what it felt like to lose Auntie Oge when she passed because I didn't really know her. I just remembered her as an older aunt I only got to see on holidays and few times when she came for graduations. I knew she was really nice because she brought gifts, but I didn't know other amazing things about her and the depth of her kindness. Today I know, and it's all because you decided to share this story. So thank you for sharing this." That was from my niece. And then my sisters, you know, I shared it because it's an ebook. And I shared it with my sisters and then shared it with my parents eventually. One of my sisters said that I shared it with them really early. So we're on different time zones and we just go on the group and drop stuff. And whenever anyone is awake, they can read it. So I was up that night. I decided to share it with my family. And I just put it on the group chat around 2 a.m. in the morning. And by 3 a.m., my sister sent me a message. She says, "Wow, I woke up and I read it from beginning to the end. It's an amazing piece. Thank you." She said, I talk a lot about her at work to encourage my grieving patients, but your story bridges the gap and gives us a day-to-day glimpse and closure." And for me, those were the most amazing words because that's really why I wrote the book. I wanted my family to have closure. It's very difficult talking to your friends about a subject like losing a loved one, especially if they haven't lost anyone close to them. So there weren't a lot of people I could talk about this to when it happened. But when I moved to the US, I met my friend Titi, and shout out to Titi. She had also lost her brother, and so she was the first person that I could really open up to really express how I felt about the whole thing. Grief is so heavy sometimes. Sometimes you think you're over it, and I'll tell you two experiences that I had. The very first experience that I knew that I wasn't over it, I went to church. And I was sitting there, and so I was sitting in church, and the choir sings an amazing song. And it's actually my sister's favorite song. It's her hymn. It's a hymn that she really, really enjoyed. And she would sing it over and over, even while she was sick. The hymn is called "Under His Wings." And that hymn came on. This amazing lady got up there and sang that hymn in such an amazing way. And I just was bawling in church. I was just crying because I felt so moved and I felt the loss, the weight of it. And I turned around and my friend Titi was also feeling the same because she had also experienced that loss, you know, with her brother. And those are times when you think that, when you know that you're not over it, when you know that, when you ask yourself, will I ever be over it, you know? You, in a strange way, you don't want to ever be over it because you never want to forget. But at those times, you're still feeling that amount of pain. You know that you haven't healed from it. And another time, I went with a friend to a funeral of someone close to them. I didn't even know who passed, to be honest. I had no idea who passed, but I was just there to support a friend. I think it was their grandma or something. And she was cremated. But I sat there, and when I got home, I felt incredibly sad. I cried the whole night. I remember that night. I cried the whole night, and then the next day was just really bad. What I took away from those two experiences were that I wasn't over it. Even though I saw things happen, I definitely was not over the experience. And it actually gave me an insight into how the other members of my family would feel or were feeling. Writing this book helped me heal. So the book has 10 chapters. Let's start from there. So the book has 10 chapters, and it talks about her early life. It talks about the things that she loved to do. I even talk a little bit about her love life, her work experiences. I talk a little bit about her passions, the things that made her really, really excited. And of course, the later part of the book talks about the experience, like what it was like in the hospital, taking care of her those last few days. What her wishes were. For me, giving this book to my mom was like, I had really looked forward to doing it, and I really wanted her to have the book. But when it came down to it, it was just, I was really, really like struggling in my spirit about, you know, about how she would respond to the book. Because at the time when it happened, I know that she felt really betrayed for not telling her about my sister's true condition. But then at the same time, I had made a promise to my sister not to tell. And the reason I had actually kept that promise, you know, was because my grandma passed away when she heard that her son had passed. Her son had passed. And then someone brought the news to her. And she just died of heartbreak. And because of that story, we were always careful about, you know, telling people really difficult news, you know. And so we just felt that my mom, you know, and I don't know why we thought that, but we just felt that it would be too much for her, you know, especially with what happened with her mom, and she'd had a really difficult life, you know. And so we just felt that it would be better if we didn't tell her. And it wasn't my decision to make, but it was a promise I made to my sister, and I kept it. So the moment I gave this book to my mom, Adi and I had gone over to Indiana, where my parents are, to visit. And I remember just going down to their room and, you know, telling them that I had written a book. Of course, my dad already knew I'd written the book. But I told them I'd written the book. I then told them to bring their iPads, because my parents are quite digital now. I initially planned to print it out and wrap it in a red bow and things like that. But I knew that with their iPads, my mom's always on her iPad, she could always pull up the book, read it, whatever she wanted, and things like that. So I pull up their iPads and I transfer the digital file to them, the PDF file to them. And then and there, my mom starts to read it. And I was just like, oh no, you can read it whenever. You don't have to read it right now. The book has 60 pages. And my mom starts to read it, like, then and there. She was really surprised I'd written the book, but then she just goes into it. And I still remember her reaction. She gave me a big hug and she told me, I love you. And that meant the world to me, because I wrote that book especially for her, you know. And I really doubt that I'll ever have the book available to the public. I don't know. I feel like, I don't know if, you know, it will ever be at a point where I will be able to share the book with anyone else that's not in my family. But I really, really believe that that book helped them, because one of the words that was running around that weekend when I shared the book was the word closure. And it made me really, really happy that I was able to share that with them. It also helped me heal, because now I talk about my sister, but I talk about it with joy. And it's like I'm talking about someone not being defined by their last moments, but someone being remembered by their entire life's work. You know, I talked about the fact that she liked to sing, and she would go for voice trainings. These are things that her kids need to know that she loved. You know, I talk about the fact that she loved to travel and explore. As soon as she could afford it, she started traveling. These are things that I want her sons to know. You know, I talked about her passions, and I talked about the things that she really wanted to achieve, her dreams. These are things that I think that her kids would want to know. And I'm super grateful that I got to do that. And so I have this call to action for you. I encourage you to reach out to people who aren't especially joyful this season. People who have experienced some kind of loss. And for them, Christmas isn't actually all jolly and merry. Christmas is, for them, a sad occasion, a time when they remember their loss so much that it weighs on them. People who are alone for Christmas, who don't necessarily have lovers or friends, you know these people and you can spot them when you see them. I encourage you to spread the joy that you already feel this Christmas with these people. I'm in no way asking you to diminish your own joy to make someone else feel comfortable. No, that's not what I'm asking you to do. What I encourage you to do is to find a way to spread that cheer that you have. Invite someone for a meal. Write a note thanking someone for being amazing this year. Tell them what their friendship means to you. Go to a concert with a friend. A friend who doesn't have other friends in town. Try to share that love that you have with others this season. This episode is the hardest episode I've made this year, but I feel that it has to be made because there are people who feel this way around the holidays. I always feel that when my family gets together, I always feel that we're not complete. And it's a feeling of loss. It's a feeling of, when we talk about it, we sigh because it's sad, you know. But writing the book about Oge last year helped me heal and helped me discover that I had a passion for writing. And that book is entitled Holding Oge's Hand. This book is about the extraordinary life of an exceptional woman from the eyes of her baby sister. It contains chronicles of her life, love, passion, frustrations, and wishes from her deathbed. Writing this book helped me find my purpose. It also helped me honor the life of my sister. As soon as I wrote that book, I was able to write more. And so I'm actually going to be releasing another book in a few days. My second book is actually going to be published. So I'm going to keep you guys updated about that. When it's out, you're going to know about it. But I really just wanted to share this moment with you, my podcast listeners, because I always encourage people to come in here and tell their stories. I always encourage people to share their pain and to reach out to others in that way. And so I only thought it fair to also share what my experience has been. That's the episode I have for you guys today. Like I said, it's a little bit heavy, but I'm super glad that I was able to write the book, and I'm super glad that I was able to share that with my family this year. Hey listener, what do you think about this episode? Do you have a question or some feedback that you would like to provide or a suggestion for a future guest? Now you can send me a voice message. Voice messages are an easy way for you to send me audio messages that just might end up on a future episode of the podcast. You can send me a voice message right now just by clicking on the link in my show notes. Can't wait to hear from you.